Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Gang Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes if you're looking for some pro wrestling to attend. Tonight, WCWO, the Outlaw Arena as usual in Indianapolis. MCW in Joppa, Maryland. APW in Daly City, California. WTF in Carmel, Indiana. AMW in Buckhorn, Kentucky. World of Hurt in Whitehall, New York. And Defy Wrestling in our neck of the woods here in Seattle. Tomorrow night, SCW in Bremerton, Washington, where you can find myself, amid many other performers. All-Star Wrestling in Surrey, B.C., ECCW in Abbotsford, B.C., DCW in Milford, Delaware, EWF in Covina, California, DCW in Dalton, Georgia, PWCS in Alton, Illinois, Heroes and Legends in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Supreme Wrestling in Madison, Indiana, featuring Jason Kincaid, TSW in Vincennes, Indiana, ACW in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, UEW in East Ridge, Tennessee, RSWF in Memphis, Tennessee, SAW in Marion, Ohio, KCXW in Kansas City, Missouri, UPW in Rochester, New York, and MCIW happening tomorrow in Terre Haute, Indiana. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest on to the show right now. He is out of the Sanctuary. You've seen him if you're a follower of what goes on there in the Philadelphia area. Johnny Moran, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi. How's it going, guys?
Doing very well today. Now, since today happens to be your first time with us, we're going to give you the first-timer's question to start off with. What got you into the world of professional wrestling?
When I was younger, I had an older brother that was super into wrestling. It was like the boom of wrestling. So he had all the wrestling magazines and all like the LJN figures. And he had like Saturday Night Main Event, like taped from like the get-go. Like, I can't tell you how many times I watched the like Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan feud that built up through Saturday Night Main Event, like when Mr. Perfect like smashed the belts, and like, so it was just a way for me and my older brother to connect because we're about like 8 years apart, and that's what got me into it originally.
And when you decide that you yourself want to get into the professional wrestling industry, what did you do to seek out training and to be able to get into wrestling the proper way?
So originally if you follow me pretty well, I had a tag team partner, Mike Mitchell. So we were always good friends when we were younger. And when we graduated college, we both played, sports all through college and high school, and we graduated college and we both decided like we needed like some kind of sport or something to do. I got into doing like bodybuilding shows. He wasn't really too into doing that, so I was doing those at the time, and me and him would just go daily to the gym together, and I was like, man, wouldn't it be awesome if we could actually wrestle? And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. He's like, and you got to remember, too, like, this is around, like, 2008, 2009, and we were both like, but we're like way too small to be like wrestlers. So I took it upon myself. I'm like, we're really not though. Like, look at us. Like, we go to the gym. I'm 225. At the time, he was like 190, 200 pound area. I'm like, we're really not that small. I'm 6 foot. He's a little shorter. He's like 5'11". So I was like, I don't think we're that small. I'm like, you know what? Let's go and see what kind of schools there are, or if there is schools. Like, we didn't really know exactly what to do. So I just literally popped it in my Google and I just typed Scranton wrestling schools or wrestling schools near the Scranton area. And I'm from Scranton. So then I saw the Wild Samoans came up first. That was in Allentown. But then right underneath it came up Backbreakers Training Center, which is in Scranton. That's where Mike and I both started out, Mike Mitchell and I. I got a higher position at a job I worked, so I had to stop training, and I moved. Then I eventually came back and finished my training at Backbreakers, and then I started getting on shows. Ended up getting introduced to John Patrick Trotsky, and from that moment on, I started training under him at the Sanctuary. Right now it's every Sunday, but like before that it was, I think it was Friday nights and then Sunday before their shows when I started training with John. And like I said, I started out at Backbreakers, and then as soon as John saw me and saw potential in me, he made sure that he brought me to his school, and that's where I've learned most of my wrestling repertoire that I use today is from John.
Looking back on things as far as a seasoned professional now that's been around for a while, if someone were to come to you today with the dream of becoming a professional wrestler, what advice would you give them as far as where to seek out training, what to do, what not to do when considering certain schools, that type of thing?
What I say to people, like, there's nothing against anything I did at Backbreakers. I had a great experience there at Backbreakers, but you constantly have to keep learning. So I started at Backbreakers. I learned how to, like, do bumps, chain wrestling. But then, like, just, like, suplexes, body slams. And then there becomes a point where you're like, well, I got to learn more. Like, I'm seeing more indie style come in. And John Trotsky, when he was on the indies and he was supremely great, and he wrestled Tommy Suede. Tommy Suede is another guy that's a big influence on me. He helps me out when I'm down at PPW Wrestling and also in Hazleton. They battled all over and, like, basically did the indie style that you see now. If you look up old, it's SLG and Tommy Suede matches. You could see where indie style has basically come from and has developed from. So when I was watching their footage, I'm like, I got to learn how to do that. I got to learn how to move like that. I got to learn how to get like that. So depending on what route you want to go, like, you got to look into the school first, and you got to look who you're getting your information from and how you're getting your information and what credentials do they have. Has your trainer had a WWE tryout match? Has your trainer been on bigger indies? Have they been in bigger tournaments in the indies that are considered big tournaments? Like, you have to look at what your trainer has done that's going to teach you something. You can't just go in and say, oh, all right, well, I want to be a wrestler. I'm just going to get trained by Joe Schmo that's done nothing but has been on like 1,000 smaller indie shows. Not saying that what they do is bad, but you want to get trained by somebody credible.
Very wise advice indeed. Now, One of the things that a lot of wrestlers take pride in that fans may not appreciate completely is their wrestling boots. I know it's a point of pride for a lot of wrestlers to have professional wrestling boots that look really good, look like they belong in a professional wrestling ring. What's the boots that you use in your wrestling career? And if someone was looking to get boots, where would you steer them as far as where to go to buy them?
I actually don't wear wrestling boots. I bought wrestling boots and they were, how much were they? They were Stagecoach boots. So I paid like $800 for them. And I just like, for me, they just did it. Not that they didn't work and they didn't feel great, but like, I just didn't like wearing the wrestling boot. Like I didn't like how high it was on my calf, and like it didn't feel right when I'd be moving around in the ring and it'd be rubbing against my shin. I just wasn't a big fan of them. I actually wear Jordan sneakers with kick pads over them. I see Finn Balor wearing them and Alex Riley wearing them in NXT, and Finn Balor wearing them on Raw. So a lot of people now, I would say, are wearing more sneakers and wrestling shoes. I've always worn wrestling shoes, like, since I went and have been doing shows. When I was training is when I bought the boots. I just couldn't get comfortable in them, so I just sold them. So I really don't have a great recommendation. If I was to buy boots, though, I would say Stagecoach is your best bet. It's going to be more pricey, but they're going to last longer, and they're better quality.
As someone that's been around for a while and has wrestled in a number of promotions, I know that you're aware that the actual rings that promotions use vary greatly. The sizes can vary. The quality of the materials used to set up the rings vary. The ropes vary quite a bit. Just in your own personal opinion, do you have a favorite actual wrestling ring that you get to compete in?
It would probably be the Sanctuary ring right now that I compete in, that I train in and I wrestle in it. So it's like the ring I'm most comfortable in. It's an 18x18 ring, which is the size down from what you would compete in a WWE ring. So, like, when I had my WWE tryout, when I hit the ropes, I was like, all right, there's two extra steps here, or an extra step than I'm used to. So that's what most people don't realize. Like, there's 16-foot rings, and then there's 18, and then there's 20. And you got to adjust your steps and your footwork to each one. But I would say my favorite ring right now would be the Sanctuary ring that I compete in every Friday, just because I'm most comfortable in it.
One of the things that a lot of independent wrestlers do to make money in their career is merchandising. You see everything from T-shirts to hats to action figures to coloring books on merchandise tables all across the country. What's some of the more interesting pieces of merchandise that you've seen wrestlers trying to sell to the fans?
When I was an Xer guy, we used to sell those, like, blinky glasses. They would sell, like, we were bad guys too, so like they would sell even if like they hated us. The T-shirt thing is very hard to, like, I would say, like, break into, because everybody there at a show has a T-shirt, so you literally have to have the coolest T-shirt going to get someone to buy the T-shirt. And that's what I tell everybody. I'm like, don't just settle with a T-shirt, because, A, the T-shirt's the most expensive thing there. That's your $20 item. you got to have a $5 item. You got to have a $2 item. You got to have multiple avenues that people can, because when people are there, they just want to get a piece of you. So you got to have that $5 item, that $10 item, that $20 item, and maybe that $2 item if you're not in, like, the best area. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I know QT has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sunday. Hello, Johnny.
How's it going, sir?
Now, Johnny, did you yourself turn out for sports in high school?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Did you yourself turn out for sports in high school?
Yes, I did track and field in high school, and I was also a power lifter. We had a powerlifting team in my high school.
Oh, all right. Well, we have a wrestler out here in the Northwest, a blue-collar wrestling wrestler who has really gotten into powerlifting, and he is now one of the best powerlifters in Oregon. What is your deadlift? What can you deadlift on a good day? Because the Gresham Savior, Buddy Highway, just had a video out, and he lifted, I think it was 400 pounds three times in a row. What is your deadlift?
My deadlift max that I used to do when I was in high school, because I have it, like, as soon as I was out of high school, I started competing in amateur wrestling, so I haven't lifted, like, heavy like that in a very long time. But my max in high school when I was 18 was 500 for one.
Holy smokes. Isn't that five plates on each side? Five standard 45 pounds? That's very
yes.
close.
Yeah.
Wow.
Close
all
to
right.
It.
Well, yes, yeah, so 10 45 pound plates would be 450 pounds. Plus, you got the 45 pound bar. Holy
yeah.
smokes. Now, Sign Guy has witnessed me lifting a broomstick with two angel food cakes on each side.
Oh, yes. Well, there you go.
Oh, okay. Now, what was your major in college? Can we ask that?
It was sport and rec management with a marketing minor.
Wow. All right. Okay. Very good. Is there any truth to the rumors that at one time you considered geology as a major, kind of like the Bert it's not the Family Guy. Oh, well, anyway, geology as a major.
No, never.
Oh, I was thinking about Bert on the Big Bang Theory. Oh, okay.
Oh, no. No, I'm not the best at science. I had to use the girl that was next to me to pass the class, for Christ's sake.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Johnny, I did see your YouTube video entitled The Man, Johnny Moran versus the shooter Killian McMurphy at the Sanctuary on 10/20/2017. And I noticed that Killian McMurphy came out to some bagpipe music, but he didn't
he
have
did.
A bagpipe.
He did not.
My question is, if he did have some bagpipes, was it your plan to steal them after you had laid McMurphy out with a cross body block and then use them as a foreign object?
Of course. Hands down, I would have.
Oh, okay.
I would have shoved them where the sun doesn't shine.
Whoa. Oh, okay. Holy smokes. All right. Well, Johnny, the name Moran is Italian, and the Italians and the Irish don't get along so well. Actually,
well,
I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure if McMurphy is 100% Irish. It could be Scottish. My point is the name Moran is embedded in American history because of the Italian gangster Bugsy Moran. Are you familiar with the Italian gangsters Vincent Two-Ton Giolante, Vito Altiformo, and Dominic D'Amaco Capo?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Those were three very famous Italian gangsters. Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, Johnny, the list of Scottish mobsters is very short. I only saw three names, but the list of Irish mobsters is very long. People such as people such as Mickey Bowers, James Whitey Bulger, William Jelly Roll Egan, and Mickey Mad Dog Sullivan. My question is, if you had a nickname in the ring, would you prefer the Irish nickname of a Fumblin' Dublin or Haggis McNugget?
I like Haggis McNugget. That one's fun.
Oh, okay. Do you know what the Haggis dish in Scotland is?
No, I don't.
I believe it's ground sheep's intestine and liver. Yes.
Oh.
And
I don't know if I'd be too
stomach.
Big of a fan of that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Your homework assignment is to look up haggis after we're done. Haggis.
I'll definitely check that out.
Yes, I think it's cooked in the sheep's stomach. Okay. Well, Johnny, in your match, when the referee called for the bell ringer did not ring it on time. My question is, have you been in any matches where the bell was rung before the referee signaled it to be rung?
I haven't, but I've seen it before.
Oh,
like
okay.
I've seen that mess up happen on other shows before.
Oh,
and everybody's
okay.
In an utter panic in the back.
In utter panic, huh?
Yeah. Everyone knows something just went wrong.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Hey, was the referee put on probation at that point? I mean, yes, the referee. Or was it the bell ringer?
I don't remember, honestly. I don't remember if they yelled at... I think they yelled at the guy that rang the bell. But, you know, like, at these smaller companies, it's not like... They're going to use the same people because, you know, they're not on the best budget as it is. So they might not have that person do that again, but they may have them do a different job. But, you know, everybody's on a budget.
All right. At the 5:26 mark of the match, Killian, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, Killian, he put you through several gator rolls. These remind me of the crocodiles and the unfortunate wildebeest on the Serengeti River in Africa.
Yeah.
My question is, do you know the difference between crocodile and alligator, and why isn't there an alligator roll in wrestling?
I don't know. I think it's size, isn't it, the difference?
Oh, it could be size, yes.
Yeah, I don't know why there isn't an alligator roll.
Well, and I think the crocodile is kind of limited geographically to the Nile, the crocodile,
oh.
The Nile crocodile. Yes, okay. Will you yourself undertake it upon yourself to rename it the alligator roll? And will you debut the alligator roll on Killian? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, of course. Of course, of course.
Oh, okay. Well, I was stunned to see Killian step on your neck at the 5:46 mark of the match, and then he used his full weight and he took a step with your neck acting like a cobblestone. Have you yourself had any neck injuries due to his stepping stone maneuver?
No, I the whole purpose of that match, and that I don't think you you're not watching the one from last week, right?
No.
It was the previous week. Okay. So that's the one where I passed out, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So a month prior to that, in another company, I was formed in the head by Clutch Adams. That's also on my YouTube page. It's Clutch Adam and Johnny Moran at PPW. If you watch that match, I get a German suplex and I sew up into the corner, and then I'm formed in the head, full force, and knocked unconscious. I received a concussion from that. I still finished the match, but you can see in the match I'm like super slow motion. So the whole point of this match with Killian was to focus back on the concussion that I received and everyone knowing that I had a concussion and I couldn't wrestle. I wasn't able to wrestle for like 3 weeks because of the concussion.
Wow. Yes, and when you were knocked unconscious in your match with Killian, I was stunned that neither the ref or the people that got into the ring stabilized your head by holding it still. They should have done that.
Right.
Yes. Wow. What do you think about the reports that Keith Hernandez, well, not Keith Hernandez, who was the ball player that was in prison for murder? He was on the Patriots, and they studied his brain, and they have recently found out he had severe damage from concussions. Do you remember this name? His last name was Hernandez?
I don't remember the name. I remember seeing it in the paper, and that was a lot, like a lot of the questions when I was at the doctor was asking me, have I been angry lately? Have I been depressed lately since the concussion? Like there was a lot more psychological questions, from this. I never had a concussion before this. So, but they said, because I went to a concussion clinic in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and they went really in-depth on just, like, how my mood's been since then. Was I able to sleep since then? Like, has my sleep been irregular? A lot of psychological questions, so I could completely see why that is where it's going now. And they're starting to figure out those are things from concussions that happen.
Huh, I didn't know they asked those questions. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. They must ask boxers that also. Boxers. Okay.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
I'm sure they do.
Well, Johnny, is there any truth to the saying, there ain't no party like a Scranton party?
Well, the places I go out and have a good time at, yes. That's very true. I mean, I always have a good time when we're out in Scranton.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Johnny, I believe Roddy Piper was from Scotland. Were you a big fan of Piper's Pit? And if so, did you see the Piper's Pit segment where he had on Italian guest Bruno Sammartino?
Yes. What one? The one that they were in the middle of the ring?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, Johnny, if you look closely at Bruno in that segment, you can see his battered nose and cauliflower ears, of which Piper made fun of. My question is, have you yourself ever had tears in your ear cartilage?
I have not. When I amateur wrestled in college, our coach literally wouldn't let us on the mat if we didn't have headgear on because he had a cauliflower ear, and he said it's stupid. He's like, you're stupid if you have this. And, like, he literally would not let us on the mat. He's like, it's not fun. You have to deal with it. He's like, put your headgear on. You're not going to get on my mat unless you had it.
Wow, all right, okay. Was your high school wrestling coach big on sanitation? For instance, if you don't keep your mats clean, you can get a lot of staph infections. Was he always bleaching the mats?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, no, he was super, like, he was really, he took real good care of us. Like, he made sure that we always wore our headgear. We are, like, most coaches tell you, like, you don't have to wear two knee pads when you're wrestling practice. Or, like, because in competition, like, you don't wear two knee pads. Some people don't wear knee pads at all. He would make us wear two knee pads and elbow pads sometimes.
Oh,
like, he was
wow.
all about safety. Yeah. Because he kind of got the wrong side of the stick when he was coming up. And that's what he said. Like, when he was coming up, like, cauliflower ear was, like, a badge of honor. And, like, he's, like, in the winter, like, when the wind would hit your, like, cauliflower ear, like, you would literally drop to a knee because you were in so much pain.
Or in a freezer. Yes, in a freezer. That would hurt. Now, can we ask what events in track and field you went out for? My guess is the 1,500 meter or the shot put.
You're right with the shot put. I didn't run at all. I used to avoid running. I used to do javelin, discus, and shot. I did all the field.
Now, did you do 4 years of track and field?
Yes.
I'm going to guess your best shot put, 12 pound, was probably a throw of 52 feet.
Correct. Wow. That was a lot.
I'm very good at analyzing. 52 feet, huh? That's a good throw.
Yeah. Yeah. I did a little bit, like, my freshman year of college, I went and did shot put at the college level. At the college level, like, it was way too long. Like, I remember we would get there at, like, 9 a.m., and I wouldn't throw until 11, and then we would have to be on a bus at 5 a.m. to get there for 9 a.m., and I'd sleep all day until I had a throw, and then, like, we wouldn't get home until, like, 2 at night, and I was like, this is for the birds. So I wasn't about it, and then I found out they had a wrestling team, so I just switched to wrestling instead of doing track.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm going to guess your furthest discus throw was 140 feet.
Yeah, actually.
150, okay, pretty close. All right. And I'm going to guess your furthest javelin was 161.
150 in the jab, too. Same.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's very nice. Okay. All right. Well, Johnny, we play a game here on Turnbuckle Turmoil called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk, where you have to make a choice between two subject matters. And it's usually the choice that comes quickest in your mind. Bearing in mind that there are no right or wrong answers, are you ready to play Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk?
I'm ready.
Oh, okay. Here we go. The Miz or Christopher Daniels?
Christopher Daniels.
Ron Simmons, damn. Or Daniel Bryan's, yes.
Ron Simmons, damn.
Okay. Bret Hart or Randy Savage?
Randy Savage.
Shawn Michaels or The Rock?
The Rock.
Kurt Angle or Eddie Guerrero?
Eddie Guerrero.
Veterans Day or Easter?
Easter.
Deep fried turkey or T-bone steak?
T-bone steak.
Sting or Kurt Hennig?
Sting.
Andre the Giant or Dusty Rhodes?
Dusty Rhodes.
Snickers or Three Musketeers?
Snickers.
Chris Jericho or Bill Goldberg?
Chris Jericho.
Rob Van Dam or Ted DiBiase?
Rob Van Dam.
Scott Hall or Mick Foley?
Scott Hall.
Stacy Keibler or Tori Wilson?
Stacy Keibler.
Kelly Kelly or Alexa Bliss?
Alexa Bliss.
Trish Stratus or Christy Hemme?
Christy Hammy.
Gail Kim or Mae Young?
Gail Kim.
The Talking Heads or the Sex Pistols?
Sex Pistols.
Oh, okay. Well, this concludes Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. I hope you do good on your haggis homework assignment.
I'll try.
Okay, and at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Johnny, in professional wrestling, a lot of times, especially on the independent circuit, you will come across opponents that show up to the match not in the best condition to compete, be it illness, be it intoxication of some form or another. They just aren't going to be able to give you the greatest match you're ever going to have. In your career, have you had much instance where you've shown up and your opponent was not physically ready to be in the match, in your opinion?
No, because I wouldn't wrestle.
Very wise choice. Have you ever...
I've seen other people wrestle people that were intoxicated or something like that. I would never put myself in that position.
That's a fantastic answer. Now, in our industry right now, there is a shortage of managers and valets compared to years past. Used to be that managers and valets were there to assist wrestlers that had trouble expressing themselves, or if they needed a little something to help connect with the fans. You don't see very much of it at all anymore on the large national companies, but on the independents, there's a little bit still out there, still trying to honor that part of the business. From people that you've come across, who would you say are some of the better managers and valets out there that more people should utilize?
On the independents, valets and managers, I would say manager-wise, there's a guy near me, his name is Tom Floyd, and I think he's one of the best managers going because he just loves to do comedy spots and just basically make an ass of himself. So, like, if you put him against a heel or with a heel, he's phenomenal, and he just gets across exactly what you need. Like, he doesn't make the heel look weak at all. Like, he'll take all that for you. His name's Tom Floyd.
Hopefully he will get a little bit more work out of that endorsement. Now, obviously, in professional wrestling, there are, you know, very strong emphasis on physical conditioning. You have to be in decent enough shape to climb into the ring, both physical, mental, cardiovascular-wise. Do you have any particular training regimen that you do to make sure that you're in ring condition at all times?
I lift weights 6 days a week. I do cardio 5 days a week. My cardio that I do that I would say keeps me in the best shape for the ring is I do the Stairmaster for 20 minutes on like a level 15 or 16. That always keeps my wind, especially in like faster paced matches. And actually, like, getting in the ring and wrestling, you got to do that. You got to train once a week, twice a week, three times would be ideal. And, you know, do your bumps, do your cardio.
And do you supplement all of that with a particular diet?
Everybody's different. So for me, I like to keep a lower carb diet because I get, you know, I get a little drum if, around my belly if I don't keep, like, very tight on my carbs.
Now, for the people that are listening today that are trying to stay in shape, trying to maintain a semblance, in a given week, could you give us an example of how much carbs you would be able to use, what you would supplement as far as protein, the sources of protein, that type of thing within the diet?
Usually I have like 6 eggs in the morning when I wake up with half a cup of steel oats and an avocado. Then around like my lunchtime, I'll have a Granny Smith apple. Probably like if you have the bag salad, like a half of the bag of salad. And then I use 6 ounces of chicken. And then at night, usually I'll have, ground beef, like the 98% lean ground beef. I'll have like 8 ounces to 10 ounces of that with the other half of that bag of salad and then a grapefruit. I also take a fiber shake and I'll have 2 scoops of protein after a workout and then 2 scoops at night before I go to bed. That's me, though, so everybody's different. Everybody's got to realize that.
Absolutely. We talked earlier about the sanctuary, and that's sort of your main base of operations. You do a lot of shows there at the sanctuary. For the fans that are listening that aren't in the Pennsylvania area, could you explain a little bit about the sanctuary and its origins and importance to Northeast wrestling?
It's basically John invented the sanctuary for people to come here as like a hub. So if you're traveling up from North Carolina, you contact John, you let him know that you'll be here on Friday to work and then you're going to go somewhere on Saturday, maybe in New York City or in Delaware. Basically, the sanctuary was invented so that people could stay like the weekend and work here one night, work somewhere in New York, come back, have somewhere to sleep, and then travel Sunday home. I know people that literally they'll work the sanctuary Friday, work a show Saturday, and work a show Sunday early and then go home. So basically it's a great thing for wrestlers seeking work and you'll get to work talent that you know normally wouldn't get to work.
One of the things going on in professional wrestling right now that I guess you could classify as a little bit controversial. The NWA has been purchased by Billy Corgan. It's in a state of flux right now as things continually shape up legal-wise and so forth. And he is attempting to relaunch the NWA in some form or fashion. Have you been following very much what has happened within the NWA as an entity as it relates to what could potentially become of it?
No, I haven't, and I really should do my homework on it because that would be awesome, especially another place to work, you know?
Absolutely. One of the goals that a lot of wrestlers have is getting into the PWI 500. It still to this day is a source of pride for a lot of the independent wrestlers to make the list. Is the 500 something that you give very much thought to in a given year as far as trying to make sure that you are at least in consideration for it?
Yeah, every year that's something that comes up and, you know, you hope you get on it. I mean, if I don't get on it ever, like, I'm not going to stop doing what I do. I mean, it'd be awesome to get on it. It's always, like, a notch in the belt. Another thing off the bucket list checked off, you know. But like I said, it's not going to stop me if I never make it.
Now, just in general, have you, in your career, communicated very much with the people at PWI, given them results or given them information on what may be going on with you to try to get into the magazine in some form or fashion just to get your name out there?
Yeah, no, I do. I'm close friends with one of the editors there, so.
Another thing that a lot of promotions as well as just individual wrestlers have been getting into lately is the independent wrestling channel on the Roku device. There are dozens of promotions on that where you can search out companies from all over the United States and watch their shows. There are wrestlers that have individual matches of theirs on there, so you can seek out just individual wrestlers if you prefer. Have you been paying attention to what's happening with that particular form to see if that's something that you can use to your advantage?
Yeah, I saw the Roku. I know that there's Twitch now. Twitch is big. YouTube is, like, always going to – I feel like YouTube will always be the staple. But I think a lot of people are going to start to switch to Twitch and, like what you're saying, the Roku, to get their names out there. Any form of media is major to get your name out there.
Looking at the landscape of independent professional wrestling right now, there's a lot of really great talent out there. There are lots of really well-run independent promotions that are doing very well. Do you have a particular dream match for yourself, someone from the independents that you have not wrestled that you would most like to see in a ring with you, or possibly a promotion that most interests you as far as getting to work there at some point?
On the independent scene or like in general?
More the independent scene.
I would say the independent talent I would love to work is, his name is Mick Drake. I worked him once when I was very, very green. Like, he was probably my fourth or fifth singles match. I had a WWE tryout and we were both there. And he's kind of been like a big brother to me since we had that tryout. And then, like, probably a month later, we worked each other at a place called Old Time Wrestling that he trains at. And we haven't wrestled each other since, but we've been on the same shows together. We've teamed together multiple times, three times now. It's just something I'd love to work him again. Another person would be my old tag team partner, Mike Mitchell. We had a match again very early on in my career. Now, like, in March, it'll be three years for me. So there's a ton of people that I would love to work. Like, people like Sammy Callahan. Like, Sammy Callahan, when I was coming up training, like, before he went to the WWE, I, like, watched his promos, and I was just, like, awestruck at how good he was at promos, and then his matches were just insane. Like, he's just very good. Like, I would have to say, like, a bigger indie star would probably be Sammy Callahan that I would love to work. But
well, we are down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure you have ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you have, upcoming appearances, social medias, merchandise, your favorite dry cleaner, whatever the case may be, floor is all yours.
I'll give you all my social media right now. I'm on Facebook at The Man Johnny Moran. I have a like page. I also have a Twitter and Instagram. My Twitter handle is Johnny Moran, and it's underscore. So that little underscore you need to put in there. And then also I have an Instagram, and that's The Man Johnny Moran also. I do have it's not – I was fired from PPW, but I think I'm going to show up there. And one of those dream matches I talked about with Mick Drake maybe may happen if I hop that barricade. So next week you'll see me at PPW. Also, I have Excellence Pro Wrestling this Saturday. And about 2 hours, I will be wrestling at the Sanctuary, and I wrestle every Friday at the Sanctuary. Those are all my upcoming events, though, and those are all my social medias. I also have a YouTube channel. If you just Google or go on YouTube and just type in The Man Johnny Moran, I'll come up. I upload every Friday the match that I had at the Sanctuary, and then whenever a match is posted from another promotion, I'll post it there. So if you want to follow that also.
Well, Johnny Moran, it has been a pleasure having you on the show today. Look forward to the next time we get to do this. Best of luck to all of you there at the Sanctuary. Fans, if you have not checked Johnny Moran out, definitely do so. You heard his social medias. Go seek him out. Find out what he's about. Absolutely fantastic talent. And I want to thank the fans from last week when I made my trip out east, WCWO in Indianapolis, HPW there in Columbus, Indiana, where we raised over $2,000 in combined cash and gift donations for the Cheer Fund. Successful trip last week. Tomorrow night you can catch me in Bremerton, Washington at the La Poblanita's restaurant. We'll be having a show tomorrow night. Great talent on tap for that. And we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have referee Robbie Kay from Rose City Wrestling. Absolutely phenomenal young referee. You've heard many people praise him over the last several months on this very program. So definitely tune in for him. And we will be back with you Sunday. Get out there, support your local independents. Tons and tons going on this week. And also we want to thank, of course, our veterans, tomorrow being Veterans Day. If you get the chance, shake the hand of a veteran, maybe buy him a drink or a meal. They did a lot for us, so let's give back to them. And we will be back with you Sunday.